Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I've got strategies for living. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
Oh, you know we need them. Yeah, we need those strategies. I'm talking about strategies for living. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan, along with PLPC, Lauren yeah. Leon
Did
McMillan.
Did you forget me? Or
No.
Just got all excited about this other fellow.
There's another fellow in the room, and he just, you know, well, I mean, you know, when Jay Merle shows up, he just makes everything highfalutin, you know?
Yeah. Oh, come on now.
No, he makes everything highfalutin.
Oh, shucks.
Well, he's that about you.
You know, he called me up earlier today, and he said, I want to come on and talk about Epictetus.
Oh. Yeah. The great Stoic.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know whether Lauren and Jay, you know this, but... you know, our friend Albert Ellis, really leaned on the philosopher Epictetus.
I could see coming
up with rational emotive behavioral therapy, REBT, or cognitive therapy, which is now the vast majority of therapy practiced. Yeah. You know,
it's cognitive behavior therapy.
Yeah, CBT.
One of the gold standards.
Absolutely. But it really is based on stoic philosophy, and it's more about, of course, as you guys know, it's not entirely what happens to us, but it's what we think about what happens to us that produces
our feelings,
yeah,
and our
feelings
experience.
Drive our behavior
for most of us, yeah. And so,
and it could be bad behavior, or it could be not bad behavior.
It could, and if I have bad behavior, I may want to change that. Well,
because it makes us feel bad.
Yeah.
So we felt bad.
So you've brought us some quotes from Epictetus for us to consider today. See, I told you he was highfalutin.
Absolutely. No doubt about that.
Hey, you failed to mention I'm a PLPC now, too.
That's right. A PLPC.
He's got some letters.
Jay Merle.
I got letters.
PLPC. All God's children got letters. Folks, thank you for tuning in to Strategies for a Living. And we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing.
Roof.
And Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. PLPC's Jay Merle and Lauren Leon McMillan. We're going to talk about Epictetus when we come back here on who? Here on Strategies.
Help you.
she's just for you. Strategies for Living Radio. Strategies for Living Radio.
And welcome in to Strategies for Living Radio. PLPC, Jay Merle, and Lauren Leon McMillan, along with, I'm just David.
Yeah. Doctor.
It's Dr. David McMillan.
Okay, well, if you say it that way.
Yeah.
Welcome into Strategies for Living. And Jay Merle came in with his Stoic philosophy today. And, you know, the thing is, who said there's nothing new under the sun? Who was it that said that?
You got me on that one. I've heard it, but I don't remember who.
Yeah, I don't remember who said it. But at any rate, you know, we were talking at the intro. Albert Ellis, the developer of, and I guess you could also say Dr. Beck, also mm-hmm. around the same time, created what we know now as CBT and cognitive therapy. And, you know, so most people probably don't realize that that reaches back into
2,000 years.
Yeah, Stoic mm-hmm. philosophy.
Yeah.
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 And,
but I think that's so important over time. You know, there's nothing more important than renewing the truths, the great truths, because I think that's what we're all doing. I don't really believe there's anything
new under the sun.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing, no such thing as original thought. You know, but it's important that we renew it for modernity or whatever it is that's most applicable at the time.
Well, the thing is, you know, a lot of the Greek philosophers, and especially Epictetus, left us a lot of timeless wisdom, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, 2,000 plus years later, we're still referring to them. So we'll consider some. It's funny, Jay, that you bring this today, because Lauren and I yesterday were considering some quotes that made sense to us, and we shared. So in a sense, we're just kind
continuing
that, but with this Greek philosopher in mind. So first one we'll throw out is, consider at what price you sell your integrity, but for God's sakes, don't sell it cheap.
Yeah. It's one of the few things we own, right?
Maybe it's one of the only things that, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I see the wheels turning up in Lauren's head.
I think of it, because I think of integrity from a point, the way I like to look at integrity is from the root, which is integral. And then if you take it all the way back to integer, it just means one, right? It means whole.
Mm.
And so it's our own wholeness that we are a part of. I kind of, my feathers ruffled at the word own, because I don't know that we really own anything, but we are certainly whole, right? And so I think this is important to remember. Don't trade pieces of who you are for what you think might be better, because we don't understand how important, how integral it is that we are in our integrity for ourselves and for each other.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I would wonder what both of you think about this. Once you do something that, you know, undermines in a way your integrity, it's hard to recover.
Yeah, my definition, at least the one that I heard, Lauren, was if you have integrity, you don't leak. And the metaphor is the boat.
Yeah.
And if the boat doesn't have integrity, watertight integrity, and once you lose it, it's hard, really hard to get back, right?
Yeah, I think so. And especially, you know, we live in this community, and I suspect that, of course, people may be listening to us in many different communities, but the community that we broadcast from, that we, the three of us, live and work in, Shreveport, Bossier City, Louisiana, and it's not the smallest little place in the world, It's a fairly nice sized city, but some people have referred to it as the biggest small town in the world. You know,
yeah, you got to be careful who you talk about in front of whom you talk about.
Yeah. And because everybody knows somebody, and you know, it's been amazing through the years doing the radio program, and I'll talk about somebody, you know, and generally in a positive light, right? I mean, I don't like to do negative stuff, but I'll use maybe as an example of, you know, somebody from the community. And it amazes me how many times, you know, someone will, in a sense, call me on it. Sometimes.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all work together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
It's the person that I've been talking about. I heard you were talking about me, you know.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's it, that's an illustration of what do they say? No more than 6 points of separation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
6 degrees.
Six degrees of separation between any of us. So, you know. It behooves us to be careful.
Well, and that's very much related to our oneness, our wholeness, that we're all connected.
Yeah. Here's another. If you aim to be perfect when you're still anxious and apprehensive, how have you made progress? So if anxiety and fear and doubt and the nagging sense that everything needs to be perfect are in control, if you will, if they're controlling us, then we probably haven't progressed very far.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. It's a, what was it? Was it Edison that when he was working on the light bulb, did he say, I didn't make 10,000 mistakes.
Yeah.
While, you know, getting to the light bulb, I just found 10,000 things, ways that it didn't work before I found what worked.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw a quote today, and I don't remember who it was attributed to. It was an old guy with a beard. He said, the man that's been hardest on me throughout my life is me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ain't it the truth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah. You don't put your purpose in one place and expect to see progress made somewhere else.
Don't put your purpose in one place
and expect to see progress made someplace else. In other words, your actions and your goals need to be in alignment with each other. And if they don't align, how do you know where you want to go? And how will you get there? I mean, in a sense, you know, I think what's being said here is our purpose, and then the things that we do, right?
Right.
If those aren't in line, we may as well be journeying without a map, in a sense, right?
Right. Well, it's
ship without a rudder.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a form of magical thinking, perhaps.
Say a little bit more about that.
Well, I mean, one example that I'm thinking of is like if I say that I want to be a healthier person, I want to have a healthier lifestyle and don't focus on making those actionable lifestyle changes.
Right.
That's kind of a form of magical thinking.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then, you know, and I think there's a lot of people that live their lives that way.
Yeah.
Including at times me, you know, because I think, you know, that's one of the reasons I think, Jay, when you bring stuff like this, it's important because it acts as a reminder.
Sure.
You know, for all of us. Oh, okay. Well, how am I doing? You know, am I am I on track? I mean, you know, back in the day, we used to have to keep all, if we traveled at all, we kept all those maps in the car, right?
Right.
Or maybe we had an atlas, you know. But nowadays, thank goodness we have the technology of GPS, and we can punch a button and see exactly where we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then punch in a, okay, where do I want to go? And it gives me a, you know, it routes me.
Yeah.
Again, I think that our purpose and defining, you know, our purpose and answering those big questions: who am I? What am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to end up? Those help us define, I think, what our purpose is.
Yeah.
And you know, churches. If you belong to a church, they probably have, you know, proposed answers to those big questions.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, it's important for you to consider.
And I'd,
you know,
say
the
even
big
if you
questions.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, exactly.
Even if you do belong to a church.
Even if you do belong to a church.
To wrestle with the questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know if it was Ellis, although I'm sure you touched on it, but, you know, in the existentialists,
yeah,
say, you know, you got to have purpose no matter what stage of life you're in. And one of the things we talked about on this show a couple of months ago was when, and I'm going to talk about men in particular,
mm-hmm,
but men at or near retirement. I told you about that book, From Strength to Strength, by Arthur C. Brooks.
Right,
it's
right.
Very important to have purpose when you're through with, you know, your career.
Right.
It needs to be something.
Right, and, absolutely.
And I think that a lot of, I'm sure women too, but I know men struggle with a sense of once they retire, their whole life was their work, and they retire. And,
yeah, what am I about now?
Yeah, what's next? Yeah,
what's next for me?
Right.
Search for meaning, right?
Right.
We're talking about some, believe it or not, Greek philosophy today, Epictetus, and some one-liners that we probably don't need to forget. We're reminding ourselves of them today. Here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back.
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you want to holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies. Strategies for Living Radio, your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for Living Radio.
And welcome back in to Strategies for Living Radio. PLPC's Jay Merle and Lauren Leon McMillan, congratulations on your letters.
Well, thank you.
We haven't exactly done the formal congratulations thing, but, you know, that's a lot of work. You put a lot of work into this, you know?
It was very, I'm going to say a good 80% of it was real interesting. And, of course, in any degree program, there are some things that,
Would
you agree, Lauren?
Absolutely. I think
but
that's anything.
Let's just say I feel as though I grew.
Mm.
Yeah.
And one of the things, and just real quick, because we got some other points to make here. One of the coolest things I did had to do with the stages of life, which Ellis has got some ideas about that.
Sure.
And so the great teacher, Tracy Passel, Dr. Tracy Passel, taught development through the various stages of life. And one of the requirements was to write a paper from your earliest memory through current time based on the distinct stages of life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Stages of development. Yeah.
Stages of development, yes.
Yeah.
And I did that and I went, it was fun. It was I think everyone would benefit.
I have no doubt.
From sitting down and doing that.
Yeah.
Right. Because you get to know yourself and see yourself in a different light.
Yeah.
And you really get to meet each of those younger parts of you
that
we all need to be more in touch with.
Yeah, so the 20 to 30 year old Jay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure we'd have been friends.
Well, things happen as they should.
Yeah, well, they do, and that's the whole point of it. Things, they're distinct stages of development
that
where things generally occur. And everything from, you know, earliest memory through certainly adolescence is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And your first work. And, yeah, it's something.
Anyway, yeah, yeah.
I don't want to go too far off topic.
Well, we're talking, you brought some philosophy for us to consider today, Epictetus. And here's another one of his quotes that we can do a little unpacking with.
Okay.
It's silly and pointless to try to get from another person what one can get for oneself.
Oh. Wow.
You know, yeah, this is so, that it's a simple sentence, but it's so profound. And maybe it's so profound because so many of us.
I see this so often.
Want the magic. We, you know, look, I don't want to do the work.
Fix me.
Doc, yeah. Just give
Rescue
me the.
Me.
Rescue, give me the pill or give me the quick solution, mm-hmm. you know?
There ain't one.
And no, well, you got to do the work.
Yeah.
You know?
And I see this so often, especially I think in clients in particular who are adult children of immature parents, let's call it that, you know, who are constantly, you know, just blaming the parents for, you know, what they endured.
Yeah.
And, you know, and or maybe constantly seeking out a substitute parent to fill that void.
Yeah.
And it's one of the hardest things, one of the hardest lessons we have to learn is that one of our jobs, no matter who or how well or how poorly your parents did, I think a very important part of growing and evolving as humans is to find and recognize that inner parent, to reparent yourself.
Yeah.
Because we all have that capacity, and it's one of the most
It may be one of the more important stages of development that we go through, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there are people who never go through that process.
I totally agree.
And so in some ways, you know, grown children of immature parents actually have a great blessing because they have that knock on the door to say, you know, I have to find this inner resource. Otherwise, you know, I'm not going to pass through life in the way that I want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's another one. And I hope everybody realizes we're not quoting Epictetus. He wouldn't have talked like.
No.
We're modern day syntax of his philosophy. So this next one is. He was Greek. Yeah. You ought to realize you take up very little space in the world as a whole. we're the center of our universe, but we're not the center of the universe. And in the grand scheme of things, you know, we're so small that maybe it's laughable, but at the same time,
we're huge.
We're huge. Yeah. And so, you know, our problems, when we put it into we consider a quote like this, we ought to realize you take up very little space in the world as a whole. You know, our problems are so minuscule, and the space we take up is pretty much non-existent. And so if you really consider that, that can be humbling.
Yeah.
And humility is an important way to go into the world. But at the same time, humility is liberating.
Absolutely.
Oh, it is freeing. Because it frees you from yourself. So I'm just going to throw this out real quick.
Yeah.
So in those meetings I go to
that
are related to the 12 steps.
Yep.
I heard you hear all so many funny things in there. And I had a guy one time, he's actually my sponsor, and he was funny. And he said, well, you know, I'm not much, but I'm all I ever think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it.
And he said that jokingly, but it kind of makes the point, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And so, you know, it's a balancing act, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, we have to try to balance I've got a universe within me. Mm-hmm. I've got a world within me.
You know, this is actually pretty interestingly, scientifically on point, too, because we have found that most of the universe is actually space.
Yeah.
Quote unquote empty space.
Empty space.
And
yeah.
we as a form, though we're made up of billions of atoms, most of it is empty space.
Hmm.
Quote unquote empty. We don't really know what's there. Maybe there's a divine intelligence in the empty space. But as far as we know, it's just empty space.
Right. Right.
And so for what's the exact quote? For as little as you are, we take up a lot of room.
Yeah, you ought to realize you take up very little space in the world as a whole.
As a whole. And that has so many, that could be a double meaning, right?
Yeah.
As a whole, W-H-O-L-E,
yeah.
but also as a whole,
yeah.
H-O-L-E.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are all holes within the whole.
There's nothing better we could do with our time than praise.
There's
something you can't give yourself.
There's nothing. There's nothing better we could do with our time than praise. Nothing bad has ever come from giving someone else praise.
Okay.
All right. Not only does praise lift everybody around us, but praising others helps to lift ourselves too. I think of this in terms of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Being grateful. And sometimes we got to stretch. Do you ever read the comic Beetle Bailey?
Oh, yeah. It was one of my favorites.
So, the cook in Beetle Bailey,
Sarge.
Yes. The cook always has, he's cooking and he always has a cigarette,
right.
out of his mouth, and the cigarette is always putting ashes into the food.
Right.
And, they had a panel that had the chaplain making the point, to the troops, always find something to give thanks for.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next panel is him in the, being served by Cookie, and he's saying grace, and he says, "I thank God for the ketchup."
Yeah. So I call praise edification.
Okay.
And that's just another word for it. But you can't give that to yourself and have it mean anything.
Hmm.
That's a gift that you can give to someone.
Yeah.
And if it's genuine and well-intended, it's huge.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's huge.
Absolutely. Since when are you so intelligent as to go around correcting other people's mistakes? one of the things that I have a hard time sometimes with is my social media.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of people that stand out to me that I'm thinking about right now. Just can get me going to the point where, I even think about, okay, well, let me just block so I won't see that anymore.
Right.
Because it's so easy. Social media makes it so easy to take the shots, right?
Mm.
This one helps to bring us back into line. I think Jesus said,
that's where I was going with it, because this is the splinter in the eye.
Yeah, yeah. Don't try to remove the splinter from your brother's eye until you get the post out of your own. Yeah,
right.
The log out of your own.
Right. Well, and I think it's a reminder that often, I think we talked about this last time Jay was on, that, often the things that irritate us the most in others is often something reflecting something within us.
A darker side of us.
Yeah.
Yep. So, before I try to fix anybody else, maybe I need to fix me.
Right. And this, of course, goes back to classic CBT, right? It's not what happens. It's not what someone else says or does. It's what I think about what someone else says or does that matters and creates my experience.
See if we can get one more in before break.
All right.
A person is not going to undertake to learn anything they think they already know. So it's impossible. It's impossible to reach and teach a person who knows everything.
Right.
Yep.
And so
we know that.
Yeah.
Waste of time.
Yeah. It is a waste of time. However, I mean, there is a, I think there's a continuum here that has to do with development.
Yes.
Because one of the things that, when you're dealing with especially younger people.
Well, teenagers think they know everything.
Right, and
well,
that's part...
That's adolescence.
That's right. The part of the developmental stage of developing and getting the ego up before you, you know, before you have it, have life generally.
Tear it down.
Well, I was going to say maybe make a few corrections, if you will.
Yeah.
We are considering the philosophies of Epictetus today. Here on Strategies for Living. And believe it or not, they have a lot to say to us today if we but listen. That's what we're trying to do, some listening today.
Yeah.
Here on Strategies for Living. We will be right back. More to consider, more to come, more to learn, more to stretch. Be right back.
Problems every day. We all need help along the way. We need strategies, strategies, strategies for living. Radio.
And welcome back in. Welcome back into Strategies for Living Radio with Lauren Leon McMillan and Jay Merrill, David McMillan. Glad you're here too. We are considering the philosophy of Epictetus. Was he a Stoic?
Yes.
He was a Stoic.
He was.
Okay. So the Stoics have a lot to offer us, don't they?
Absolutely. They were also kind of skeptics.
Yeah. Well,
they didn't take things at face value.
Yeah. Skeptics in a healthy sense, though, weren't they, Jay? Because they were skeptics and yet open, you know, so they would let new info in, but they didn't just buy into it immediately.
Exactly. Yeah. They would test it before they
accepted it
as reality. Yeah. All right. Here's another one. First, tell yourself what you want to be, then act your part accordingly. First, tell yourself what you want to be, and then act your part accordingly.
Yeah.
So, who do I want to become?
So,
And think about the path that you want to go down. This goes back to one that, you know, it's related to one we were talking about earlier. But, you know, until you know what you want, well, this any kind of road will get you there. But once you think about, you know, what am I becoming? What do I want to become? Now I can navigate. I can kind of map out a path, if you will.
This kind of works in the recovery community.
Yep.
When someone first comes in to a program.
Yep.
It's suggested to them that they act as if.
Yeah.
Because it's tough when you put it down. Whether it's drugs or alcohol, same thing.
Yep.
You act as if you have done what you need to do to move past it. And that's tough.
Yep.
But eventually it becomes your reality if you stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a powerful, it's almost an ancient and powerful reminder of what we, you know, in some of the new age groups might call manifestation. But it's very accurate, right? I mean, it's that point of we have to first decide what it is that I want, and then visualize it and take the steps to embody that.
Right.
Yeah.
Act as if.
Yeah.
Yep. Here's another one. It's no great achievement to memorize what you've read while not formulating an opinion of your own.
Ooh.
Oh, that's important.
It is. True wisdom comes from thinking and formulating your own opinions, not just solely remembering what someone has said to you.
Oh, critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
It's not really being taught these days.
No, it's not.
Well, I worry about that. And I think we're at a point where we are seeing collectively, we are struggling with that.
We're seeing the results of that.
Yeah, we're being tribal.
Yeah.
We're assuming the mores, feelings, and opinions of our tribe.
Yeah.
And not really thinking it through. And it is dangerous.
Yeah. So, you know, it sometimes with these, it's like you know, we've got to do the reflection. We're not. I certainly don't. I mean, I want a doctor who has made A's in medical school.
Who's been able to memorize.
But I don't want a doctor who's made A's because he's memorized every book. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm open, you know, especially if I'm opened up on his or her operating table, mm-hmm. and, you know, he or she runs across something that wasn't in the textbook.
Right.
I want them to be able to, you know, mm-hmm. Engage in some quick critical thinking.
And some problem solving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we may be something that we're missing out on today.
Yeah.
Right?
I think this is one of those systems that is in need of a great overhaul right now.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, quite frankly, the current educational system was built to produce workers.
Yeah.
Who obey and follow the rules.
Yep.
Right? Which is really not conducive to having people come out with the ability to think critically and to analyze and to decide and to go into different and explore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different avenues.
Yeah.
Yeah. No bad person lives the way he wants, and no bad person is free.
God, that's true.
Yeah. We've all got those regrets, don't we? And things that we wish we had done differently. It's so easy to look back and second guess ourselves or other people. And so in that regard, you know, we're not free.
This is especially true when we hold on to resentments.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know my quote on that, you know, nursing resentment is like drinking poison and hoping the other person mm-hmm. dies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. A good actor preserves his reputation not by speaking lines out of turn, but by knowing when to talk and when to keep quiet.
Boy, is that important.
Mm. Yeah. Isn't it great when you can see whether it's an actor on stage, Lauren and I love to go to, you know, plays
community
and
theater,
seeing live theater. But you can also see this with, especially with people like stand-up comics. Mm. Timing.
Yeah.
Timing is just, you know, that's something that when you got it, when you get that sense of timing, mm-hmm. you know, man. That's what this is saying.
Yeah, but interactions off the stage, just normal people, you know, if you react, chances are, when somebody challenges you or somebody says something, if you react immediately, chances are it might not go well. So
yeah.
Here's my test, and I strive to do this. Pause.
Mm. Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Pause before you react.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. There's no shame in making an honest effort. You're never going to regret trying, you know? And there's nothing dishonorable in failing. Knowing that you've given it everything you got.
Yeah.
You know, most people vote that Abraham Lincoln was the greatest American president. Now, there's some debate, you know, but if you go to the Smithsonian, they've got for years they've had an ongoing, you know, you go in and you vote. And by far Lincoln is number one. And I suppose because, you know, he saved the Union. But what we don't realize is how many times Lincoln failed. He lost almost every election that he was elected to a state representative, and then he got kicked out of it. He lost. And then he did get elected to Congress, but then he lost for re-election.
Right.
And he lost a couple of Senate races until he won the presidency. So, you know, thank goodness he didn't give up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, a winner is a loser who tried one more time.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna steal that, Lauren.
Say that again. Say that.
A winner is a loser who tried one more time.
A winner is a loser.
Yeah.
That tried. She's
good.
I can't claim that one. I had found that before, but I don't remember where.
Nothing's new under the sun.
Right,
Lauren.
Exactly.
You may have just made the whole program.
Yeah, you might have.
I don't know about all that.
That may be the title of the program.
It's a capstone.
Yeah. We'll be back. More strategies for living to come. We'll see what Lauren can teach us next. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, Jay Merrill, David McMillan. Yeah. We've been dealing with philosophy today, thanks to Jay. Brought us some Epictetus to consider. I didn't know you were so philosophical.
I just read a lot. I
like
a
it.
Lot of yeah. things hit my email, and when something comes up, I run it by David first. He's the editor.
I love it. I love it.
And if he thinks it's good, we go with it.
Yeah, there you go. What are y'all going to take away from all of these Epictetus words of wisdom that we've shared today? What's the takeaway?
Oh, it's a lot to chew on. I think we could take any one or two of these and chew on it for much longer than we spent on it.
Yeah.
But some of the themes that recurred, I think, for me, were, you know, integrity, keeping your values and your actions in alignment, becoming more self-aware,
yeah.
noticing, you know, and then also some control over perception, how you take that in. What
yeah.
what are you telling yourself about the situation?
The whole thing goes to self-awareness, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This whole thing
yeah.
Helps us, instructs us, if we only listen and have the humility to admit when we're wrong, to learn from this sort of thing. Huh?
You know yeah, what would be a definitely. Great exercise if somebody wanted to do it?
Yeah.
If you want to start journaling, pick out one of these each day.
And chew on it.
And chew on it. Yeah. And let yourself write.
Because
don't think about it. Don't overthink about it. Just write the quote and then start, you know, just let it flow. And see what comes out from the inside of you. You might be surprised. Jay Merrill, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Lauren, thank you. And folks, thank you. We appreciate you being a part of Strategies for Living. We do this for you, and we can do it because of our wonderful sponsors, the Robinson Film Center, Azalea Cleaners, Pintail Roofing, Learning RX, the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? What would you say? And why? Why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, for Jay Merrill, I'm David McMillan, and we'll see you next time right here on Strategies for Living.